Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Welcome to Sports Day. Nice to have your company. Carl Langdon and Paul Hazelby with you for the next couple of hours. And we've got plenty of time in this hour to take your calls. 922-11882. More announcements, Hayes, at the Perth Glory as they partner with the state government as they push into Asia with the Asian Football Championship upcoming. And it's certainly been all business going ahead at the Perth Glory in the last couple of days.
It's good time for both parties. I'm sure the Perth Glory will be very happy with that deal, but more so the state government with what's going on with coronavirus. To get the name of Perth out there in a tourism market to try and attract back into our state, because so many are doing it tough and many are going to do it tough for a long time. So I think it's fantastic the state government have got around this.
Expected global TV audience of 1.5 billion people and social media reach of around $586 million a month to key Asian countries. That's why our state government has got behind our Perth Glory. Sports West Awards tonight at Optus Stadium. Who do you think's going to win, Hayes?
Sam Kerr, just from Nathan Fife, I believe. Do they give a second place?
Well, they can have joint. You can have joint winners, so that could happen. You never know. A couple of results overnight in the tennis. Tom Lanovich was beaten by Potapova in St. Petersburg, and Astra Sharma, the West Australian girl, had a win at the Kentucky Open. And this morning, or in fact tomorrow morning, Jordan Thompson takes on John Isner, the number one seed in New York. So let's hope that Jordan Thompson can keep his good form going in 2020.
And some more big news in the AFL. This time, Jamie Cripps recommitting to the West Coast Eagles for 3 years. He's been a star, hasn't he, Jamie Cripps? He goes under the radar, but he's very consistent and just works very hard. Injury concerns, too, for Ben Brown. He's had scans on his calf. Cade Collard-Jasny, Melbourne's version. Another head knock. This is another player that's had a number of head knocks throughout his career. His future not looking too good at the moment. And Jermaine Jones, remember him from
yes,
the Geelong Cats?
I do.
He's going to train with the West Coast Eagles to try and get that last spot. He competes against Brady Gray and also Nick Reed. So look out for that one. And more, Carl. Kate Orme from the West Coast Eagles with debut in the Derby, and Bianca Webb for the Fremantle Dockers. So what a game to debut.
And today, the Australian Women's Golf Open at Royal Adelaide, and Minji Lee and Hannah Green both finished 3 under par for the day. Jodie Hewitt-Shadoff, the United Kingdom lady at 32 years of age. Shadoff. She carded a 7 under score today. So 4 away from the lead, the two WA girls. Her best result, Shadoff, was in the British Open in 2017, where she finished second. But let's get to our first guest tonight. It's John Worsfold, the coach of the Essendon Football Club, as he joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Woosh.
Thanks very much, mate.
Nice to have your company. Where do we find you tonight?
I'm in Bendigo. It's been extremely warm up here today, but we're on our community camp, so we had a training session at the local oval this morning, and we're at a local dinner function tonight.
What do you put those bombers through in pre-season? You'd go back to the old Mick Malthouse days, do stuff with the SAS, anything like Marybrook Bush?
No, not quite as much as that these days. But the boys have had a good pre-season. We took them up to Coffs Harbour for a week, which was great. It was when you get the players full-time for a week, just you know, they're bonding with each other as well as being able to do your full training program. So you can actually, you know, it's not like you're going away for 3 or 4 days and you do a half training program. We did our full program up there, but the players had plenty of downtime as well.
Hey, Woosh, have you done anything differently this year? Because the last two pre-seasons, particularly the games and your round ones and twos, haven't been too good.
No, don't worry. I've been given that feedback. And everyone's saying, what are you doing to make sure that doesn't happen again this year? And I'm saying, well, obviously not getting Joe Danaher up the line. That's not going to help. But overall, you know, we're just progressing. We just want to become a better team overall. You know, if you're winning your 12 games a year, then basically you're one of the middle stream teams. And that's where we've sat the last couple of years. We've got to get better. So we've got to get our squad stronger and better, fitter, and more mature, because we have some of our, what we think are going to be really exciting players for the future, are in their second or third years. So get more games into them, and then the team will peak. Their best footy is ahead of them. Hopefully we start to really show up this year, but certainly next year and the year after, I think this squad will really mature.
Woosh, the last week, it's just been bad news out of your club. Connor McKenna homesick, gone back to Ireland. Big Tommy Bell Chambers has broken down, on top of Danaher that you've mentioned.
Tip and Woody.
Tip and Woody.
Yeah.
It's just been...
Oh, no.
How are you feeling?
No, there's been some really great stuff happening too, Cal, but we know that often doesn't, no one cares about that.
No, that's true.
Important. So, like, if you talk about us in the footy club, we're tracking along really well. Yeah, Tipper had a very minor calf strain, but that doesn't concern us at all. He's had an unbelievably good pre-season. So, in a way, it's probably good that we're lightening his load off a little bit. Otherwise, he wouldn't have missed a session at all. It doesn't hurt him to have a bit of a freshen up quite this close to the start of the season. But, overall, Connor McKenna, obviously, we're just supporting him in terms of he lives a long, long, long way from home, gives up a lot to play AFL footy. He gets some good stuff in return, but, he was feeling pretty homesick and pretty average and not really motivated to come to training. So you don't force your hand and tell them, well, you've got to stick at it, mate, you're contracted. It's like, well, what are we going to do to help you get back feeling good about it and loving it and where we're going to see you playing great footy? So the solution was just give him a couple of weeks at home and hopefully that's enough that he knows the season's just about on us and he's ready to go. So, yeah, we'll just support Connor in that. I can't wait to get him back and into it, but if it takes longer than it takes, that's no worries. It's about him just being feeling really good about himself. So, and Tommy Bell Chambers won't be far. His knee was getting a little bit sorer, and we didn't know if he'd need surgery, so he bit the bullet and did an arthroscope just to say if we leave it too long, the season will be on us. And it was worth doing. There was some minor issue in there, which they cleaned up, but they were really happy they did it and felt he would bounce back really quickly.
You've got a bit of coverage this year with the Ruckman, with Andrew Phillips coming across, but I want to ask about the Northampton product that's travelled across, Bryn Teakle. Tell us more about him, and do you see him getting an opportunity?
Yes, you boys from up north, you sit together. I got a text message from Josh Kennedy, like, Saturday morning. He'd only just started training with us, and I'd get a message from Josh Kennedy saying, look after those Northampton boys. And I said, well, we're still looking for a good one. So again, we're going to keep trying them until we find one that can play. Hey? But he's an athletic, big kid, and he's at East Fremantle. He's obviously been working under a couple of pretty experienced ruckmen there and learning a bit of his craft through them. And he flew in Friday night, and we got him up at 7 a.m. the next morning to lead the ruck against Phillips in a bit of a practice match. And he's a good kid. He's got great attitude, and he's turning up and just lapping it all up. So, we've got a young ruckman that's in Draper coming back from a knee reconstruction last year. We've added Phillips. But in terms of T-Bell's moving, getting on, so there is, an opportunity for us to look at another young ruckman coming through our list. And Britain's grabbing that opportunity at the moment, which is great to see.
Hey, Woosh, what about you individually? It's you've been coaching for a long time, but it is your last year at the Bombers in the head coaching position. The dynamic with you and Ben Rutten, who takes over next year, does it feel any different, and how is that dynamic?
Yeah, no, it doesn't really feel any different other than, knowing that this is my last year and really stretching it to give Ben more scope to understand the full range of responsibilities he'll have as senior coach next year. So, for example, he's not here at this dinner with me. He's already gone home. But I said, understand this, Truck, next year you'll be staying, and you'll probably, I've got a breakfast here in Bendigo tomorrow morning that as senior coach, there are extra things you'll have to do. So we just talk through it and explain the extra responsibilities and help him to start to plan how that will look for him when he takes over next year. But in terms of coaching, he's in charge of our team defence. He was last year. He's still doing a wonderful job with that. And the addition of Blake Carosella to do our attack this year, they work together at Richmond. They have a really close relationship, and I'm seeing the benefits of having two guys who know each other really well, and the way they bounce off each other in terms of our overall game plan, it's looking really strong.
West Coast, you play here on Feb 28. What sort of team are you going to bring over?
We'll probably bring a pretty good team over, I think. Availability-wise, the boys that are available, we want to start to get some minutes into those guys. We've got West Coast and Geelong. We actually play Melbourne the week before we head over to West Coast, but we'll just probably play a lot of young players in that game and get some minutes and experience into them, but have a fairly strong squad coming over to have a run against the Eagles because, we need to get them putting the game plan together, you know, all the work they've done pre-season under Rutt and Carosella, they need to now have our core group together for a couple of weeks leading into the season.
Thanks for joining us, mate. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time.
Thanks very much, boys.
John Worsfold, Essendon coach here on Sports Day. And to all you Bombers fans that are tuned in right now, National Essendon members, you receive access to the Bombers games at Optus Stadium, plus four home and away games in Melbourne, including the Anzac Day clash, for just $130. So become an Essendon member today at efc.com.au. Just that again, efc.com.au, $130. National Essendon member, receive access to four games at Optus, home and away games, of course, in Melbourne, including the Anzac Day clash, for just $130. Well and truly worthwhile. 922-1882 is our number if you'd like to join us and talk about anything in another busy day in sport here on 882 6pm.
Hello, it's Justin Smith.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and our Matildas right now are locked in a battle with China. It's gone into injury time, and our girls trail 1-0 at the moment. China have the upper hand. It was a really tense struggle up until halftime. Neither team scored, but a late goal by the Chinese girls has them marginally in front as they head to the last round of qualifying for the T20 Olympic Games. Coming away, Kevin Sheedy tonight. Rochelle Hawkes is our local hero. Looking forward to having a yak to her. She was a star for a long time in the sport of hockey. Sam Williams to tell us all about NRL 9. So that will be played tomorrow and Saturday. It's a fast format. Mark Lecrae will give us where the fish are biting as he joins us for fishing and camping, thanks to Parkside Towbars. And we'll try and win some money in our chase for charity, which we've been doing for the last couple of years now here on 882 6PR. Thanks to Greyhounds WA. Hey.
And Matthew Nix will join us too tonight, Carl, from the Adelaide Crows, the new coach. But it's happened again, Carl. What about this? I know you'll love it. The Brisbane Lions, they've announced their leadership group today. Dane Zorko will be the captain. Harris Andrews, the vice captain. But wait for this, Carl. Guess how many they have got in their leadership group.
Would you
believe if it's 9? How would you feel about 9 being in a leadership group? This is just about half the team. It is half the team on the field.
Well, it is. If those 9 are actually taking the field, which you'd expect given the group of names that they have announced in their 9-man leadership group today, Dane Zorko, the captain, Harris Andrews, the vice-captain, Gardner Martin, Lachie Neal, Ryan Lester, who was captain for a while, then a couple of youngsters, Berry, and McGluggage, who's the new addition. So all the others were there before. McGluggage is a new addition, and so is Jared Lyons, who switched across from the Gold Coast Suns.
Couldn't get a game there at the Gold Coast Suns. He's gone there. He's in the leadership group. I'm a little bit surprised by Lachie Neal that he's not a vice captain. He's clearly made a big statement to leave the Fremantle Dockers, go to the Brisbane Lions. Had a terrific season last year. Harris Andrews must be a terrific vice captain. I thought he could probably sneak in there. But I'm also excited about something else today, Carl. And last year, it was Brisbane Lions this time of the year that I predicted would make their way into the finals. That was proved correct. I'm going big again. The St Kilda Football Club are
Australia
going to...
have scored, hey? Sorry have to cut they? You off. 5 minutes into... Oh. 5 minutes now to injury time, and the Australian girls have scored. So China and Australia now locked at 1-1.
And they needed that draw too, so that is fantastic. Who was it? Was it Sam Kerr?
I can tell him it's Van Egmen. So Emily Van Egmen, how's this? Jali scored in the 86th minute. Van Egmen scored in the second minute of extra time. So when I gave that score just a couple of minutes ago, Hayes, as we were talking here. Crown Perth Sports Update. This summer you can live a little larger at Crown.
Coming off 3 goals in the previous game too. She's in good form. But St Kilda, top 8, Max King. Would you... Hang on, what's going
full
on now?
Full time! It's a draw.
It's a
just
draw.
Gone full time, so it's a draw. So that is the Crown Perth Sports Update. So Australian and Chinese women draw tonight. This summer, Crown, the only destination. Things are bigger, brighter and more fun.
Can I keep going?
Yeah,
okay, St Kilda, Max King played today. Now, he was drafted at number 4. He missed a lot of last season, or all of last season, at an AFL level. He kicked 4 goals today. He dominated, but they've recruited very well, the Saints. Hill, Jones, Howard, Paddy Ryder will be a good backup ruckman. Dan Butler, some good depth there. But listen to these names. Hanbury will be fit. Robertson played today. Jaron Geary will be back soon. Jake Carlisle will be fit. Ben Long was outstanding today off the half back line. This is a team that's now building some A graders. I think they're the team to watch. And Max King, look out for this kid. He's going to be a superstar. I wish the Fremantle Docks had packaged something up a few years ago to get him or his brother, but he is going to be an absolute star. Your thoughts on St Kilda, Carl? Can they get inside the top 8? mate. You fought me hard last year with the Brisbane Lions. You going to fight me again?
Yep. I'll bet you a carton of Coronas. There you go, that they won't make the eight.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Carton of Coronas. Done.
Right. That was easy. Troy, good evening to you.
You want to watch it drinking them Coronas, boys? You make the soccer sound so exciting, Carl. It was a narrow margin, 2-1, and then it was a draw.
No, no, it was up till the 86th minute. It was nil all, and soccer matches are exciting when they are low scoring contests. Then China scored, and happily for our Australian girls, they scored 2 minutes into the injury time. What did you want to talk about?
Hey, don't go all defensive on me now, but this is, I think it's mainly, I'm mainly talking AFL, but like the doctors come out today, but they all do it. Why do they have to come out and name a shame, especially a young bloke? We're all human. We all make mistakes, but why do they have to do that? Can you please explain it to me, with you two being involved like with footy clubs in the past and now in the media? Why do they have to do it?
I think it's better to be upfront and honest, though, Troy, because if you're not as a football club and you try and hide things and then it gets out, then a lot of the journalists start to ask a lot of questions. Look, I think once you get drafted into the AFL, you become a public profile, regardless of your status within the team. We're talking about Lino Thomas, who was charged with drink driving. I think it was up in Kununurra. He'll learn a harsh lesson from this, and maybe it'll be the catalyst for him to make some better decisions in the future that it is made public. But I know he's only a young player. He's just into the system, but from an AFL point of view, I would much rather they got on the front foot with everything, put it out there, and then the story tends to go away after that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there, Hayes. 9221882 is the number if you'd like to comment about that. We're going to clear a break on the other side. Matthew Nicks, the coach of the Adelaide Crows, will join us here on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company here on this Thursday. Great to get inside the Adelaide Crows. New coach, exciting stuff. Matthew Nicks joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Matty. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, guys. How are you going?
We're going okay. I think the last time we spoke to you is when you got appointed to the job. How's it been now, mate, a few months in?
Well, it's been great. Yeah, it's been a really good, enjoyable couple of months. I think probably like most coaches in the competition, this is the best time of the year for us because there's not a lot of results coming through, so we're all winning. it's one of those times where you're really not selecting sides either, so there's a little bit less pressure there as well. But you're seeing the young group develop, and they're all up and about. So it's been a really good 2 months for me.
You can try and prepare as much as you can for being an AFL coach. But has anything surprised you, Matthew, in regards to time management, corporate events, public speaking, all that type of stuff?
Look, to be honest, no, not to this point. I know there's a lot of pressure to come. So I've discussions with a lot of coaches I've worked with has been around that, the pressure cooker that can become that hot seat, you know, that number one head coach is sitting in the hottest seat that's in the coach's box. So I know that's still to come, but to this point, it's been as expected, a lot more. You know, you get pulled around a lot more from, as far as corporate, commercial events and so on. But, we've done our best to try to get to as much of that as we can, but also spend as much time with the players as we can. So I've really enjoyed it. I'm now really looking forward to, as are the players, to sort of getting started and coming up against another opposition that's going to bring something different.
Just out of interest, did you catch up with Don Pike prior to taking over the role?
No, I haven't. It's an interesting one, and it's more about respect than anything. But it is something that, in time, I would love to have a chat to him about, just the experience and what he went through. Because I know, it became a really challenging year that last year, and I know how tough the Adelaide market is. And similar to Perth in a way, where two teams, there's a lot of pressure on. There's a lot of passion in the state, and when the team's not getting the results and the outcomes aren't going your way, I know how hard it can be in Adelaide. And I've been, across at the dark side with Port for 8 years, so I have been able to experience a little bit of that prior to this gig.
One thing I do know is new coaches like to try players in different positions. I read an article today about Taylor Walker that he might line up on the wing because he's such a good field kick. But any others you can surprise us with?
It's amazing, isn't it? You drop a couple of things. I also mentioned that was Taylor's idea. that one didn't come through in the article. But yeah, there's a lot of things we're trialling. You're always looking at different things. Where's the game going? How can you get small advantages? So I actually, to be honest, I don't mind the idea of playing key position players, in different areas and just testing out what the opposition will do. All sides defend differently. I think it'll be a really interesting one to see. So even though it was Texas' idea, if it works and we do trials at some point, it'll definitely be a coach's idea when it comes off.
What about Rory Laird into the midfield, mate? He finds plenty of the footy across half back. Could we see that?
Yeah, well, look, we're talking a fair bit about our half-back line and what they can offer for our midfield. Laird is one of those. Brodie Smith's one that we'll definitely have a look. I think I mentioned that in the last chat, that Brodie's done a hell of a lot of work in that midfield, and we'll be doing everything we can to start him around the footy. And it's really about our balance, of our on-ballers. We've got Brad Crouch, who spends a lot of time in there, and his brother Matt, who play a real in and under style, footy. It'd be nice to get some guys in there with slightly different attributes and a bit of agility, a bit of change of direction and speed. So, your spot on Laird would be a ripper as far as getting him around the footy. He's very good one-on-one. But we also have a look at Junior Miller, who's playing some good footy through pre-season as well. So, expect a little bit of a change in there.
Yeah, I had Junior Miller in my fantasy side last year. I thought he was a player that moved pretty good. I like the way he moves, Nixie. Now, what about another big fella who I've got a bit of an affinity for, because he's a red-headed bloke, the Ruckman. He burst onto the scene last year and kept Sauce Jacobs out of the side, and I just wonder whether he's gone better with another pre-season under his belt, because, gee, mate, he didn't look out of place.
No, he had an amazing season last year, and I guess his main attributes, his ability to run. He's right up there with our midfielders when we do some of the testing around Tukaya, and that endurance running. So it's a strength as a ruck to be able to go for four quarters. So we've seen he's continued to develop. He's getting bigger and stronger. We're doing a fair bit of work on his game as far as when to go, when to test out the opposition. And, it's a long season, so we want him to be able to work right through that team. But he really has added to, we brought Billy Frampton across from Port this year, who's done some really good ruck work alongside him so far over the last, month or so.
Nixie, Rory Sloane is the sole captain this year, but myself and Carl, we've already selected your next captain. We had him on last week. Tom Duday is in your leadership group. He was all class, so impressive. What can you say about him, and who are some of these other youngsters that are going to come through this year?
Well, it's interesting that you guys have already picked that out, and that was one of the first things I noticed with Tom when I first met him and spending some time with him. We just had to have him in our leadership group. He's well ahead of his age as far as maturity goes, and his ability to work with others and lead. So it was an absolute pleasure. And our playing group, unanimously selected him into our leadership group. So for such a young guy coming off a major injury, he spent the best part of the last 12 months working on his body, let alone leading. But he's able to do both. So. Outstanding character. He'll be a huge name in football, a little while down the track. But as far as other young guys that we've seen step up, we lost a fair bit of experience at the end of the year. Obviously, Eddie Betts is one of those. Tyson Stengel has stepped right into that role as that small forward, taking his professionalism to another level, which has allowed him to play some good footy over the pre-season. Shane McAdam's one another Indigenous lad who's, again, these guys seem to have just stepped up their ability to train hard and be consistent. So, with a bit of luck for those two, hopefully we can get them through and play some good footy early in the year. But there's just a couple of guys that are starting to stand up.
Are you a coach that's not afraid to throw the first years in if they're ready? Fisher McKaysey, for example, your first pick?
Look, I mean, we'd love to. Like, as a coaching group, we'd love to play the first year. Fisher's come in and hasn't put a foot wrong, so you don't want to go too early on that, because it's not until you start playing against genuine opposition that show a different game plan, that you see whether people are ready to go. But to this point, as I said, he's done everything right. When you have your leadership group and your more experienced players talking about a first year and saying, look, we've just got to get him in, it's a good sign for him. So, yeah, we'd love to get him in around that round one. It'll just depend on how the next month goes.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. I'm going to predict that the Crouch boys are going to have 100 possessions in a game of AFL this season.
Well, I don't care how many they have. I just hope we win that particular game.
They fight so much of the footy, Nixie. It's incredible how consistently they are able to get their hands on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, their strength is the one-meter test. They're big bodies. They're competitive. They love that inside stuff around the footy. They also find footy around the ground. Mm. So by no means am I saying it's only inside. We're doing a hell of a lot of work, and probably find out over here. I'm not a big stats coach. I'm not huge on individual stats. I do like the team side of things, and so I'd love to see those guys take it back to 25, and the team has a good 8-goal win. That would be a much better outcome for us, but. If Matt Bradley can have 48 and win by 8 goals, I'll be happy as well.
Your club finished 11th last year, only 2 games outside the 8. Where do you reckon you can climb to?
Oh, God, who knows? I mean, at this point, it's hard for us to say, because at this point, we couldn't be more happy with what we've done for 2 months, but we know every club feels really good at the moment about what they're doing and how hard they've been working. I can't tell you, how well the other clubs are training. We'll get a bit of an indication over the next sort of 3 weeks when we start playing Marsh games. We get Melbourne and the Gold Coast in that series. So it'll give us a little bit of an indication on how we've gone. But we've transformed part of our game. We've done a fair bit of work in around our sort of full ground team defence. So I'm hoping the guys really embrace that and we have some good results. But realistically, it's how we go about it. So if we come at the end of a game and the boys are proud of what they've put out there, well, then that's a win for us. Hopefully then the outcome looks after itself.
Great to chat, mate. Thank you very much for giving us some of your time and good luck. Take care.
Yeah, no, appreciate it, guys. Thanks very much.
Matthew Nix there. Hayes, where do you have the Crows?
Can finish in the 8, the Crows, if it all goes right for them. They didn't lose too much, I must admit, but they're also a team that can finish in the bottom 4 if things go pear-shaped. But you always get a bit of an uplift with a new coach, and I like the sound of this guy, Carl, so wouldn't be surprised if they played finals.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I reckon they will. Personally, it's just a matter of who's going to slide out. I'm feeling worried about Geelong, but they finished on top of the table. And can they slide all the way out of the 8? Who knows? 922-1882 if you'd like to have your opinions heard here on Sports Day next. Welcome back to Sports Day. Our number is 922-1882 if you'd like to join in tonight. And Norman Subi is going to join us in this little seggy first. G'day, mate.
G'day, Carl and Paul. Hi. Look, I'm not being wise after the event, but watching Fremantle on the, so I'm following closely, there's a lot of really good young talent seemingly across the field, multiple places, lots of good young players vying for spots. Now, I'm not being, as I said, wise after the event. Prior to last week, I was concerned about 2 positions, and I did ring you about fullback once, suggesting someone be tried there. And I was actually going to suggest that, in my view, Hamling was one of the most important players in the team, with Pierce down and seemingly neither, people of that standard to go in. Anyway, that's done. The other one that's worrying me a little bit is the ruck. And they let Scott Jones go, and I'd like to know I think they lack a player like West Coast picked up Tom Hickey. That's your name, the St Kilda player. And when you look at Fremantle, they did lose Sean Darcy once last year with a hamstring. So players can go down. And we've got talk of Lobb says he's going to be playing more forward all the time. And young Lloyd Meek is promising but hasn't really had much to do at the moment, set to prove himself. I just liked your assessment of the ruck. And is that a weak spot for Fremantle, considering the length of the season? And Darcy's only a young player.
Not if he stands up, though, Norm. Not if he stands up. If he stands up and plays the footy that we just spoke about with Matthew Nix that Riley O'Brien played, then, mate, no problems at all. But it's just a matter of whether he can stand up.
That's right. Exactly what I'm concerned about.
Well, I don't think you need to be. I mean, it's a little bit like if Brady Grundy breaks down at Collingwood, who do they turn to? Max Scorn at Melbourne, who do they turn to? I mean, if your first pick ruckman can stand up and play a majority of the 22 home and away games, then they go a long way to making sure you a chance to play finals.
So I should relax, Carl.
I reckon you should, Normie.
The beauty now is if you do get a long-term injury, you can go and find somebody else outside of the league. So, look, Sean Darcy has been injury-prone, so he's no certainty. Lloyd Meek was slightly ahead of Scott Jones, in my opinion. They had to go forward with only one of them, and he had a pretty good back end at the Peel Thunder, played a very good game and showed a lot of promise. Rory Lobb, I'm sick of hearing this stuff about Rory Lobb playing as a forward. I don't care. He plays where the coach puts him, and he needs to learn that. And if those other guys aren't fit, he's the ruckman, because you've got Matt Taberner. Hopefully Jesse Hogan is there. Brennan Cox can also play a role in the forward line if Lobb has to go in the ruck. So, look, they may be one short, but I think given that you can go get one at the right time if there is an injury, we'll get through, Norm. Don't worry about that.
Sean Darcy stands up, everything will be okay, because I just have seen some really good signs. And now that Sandy's gone and he's been tutoring him behind the scenes, I hope he gets a good run at it. Reece has a call about Brisbane and the 9-man leadership group. Hello, Reece.
Yeah, good evening. I'm still trying to catch up with you for a drink too, by the way.
Because you were meant to come into the studio the other night at the cricket match. Yeah, but I invited him into the studio and he never turned up.
No, they had a few dramas with the telephones and systems and that, so they'll get me in soon enough. So I did catch up with Paul the other night, so it was great to catch up with him as well. And we'll definitely catch up. And
over the fence. You want to have another bet with me?
Yeah, I know. I was waiting to have another bet. Yeah, no, it was funny because last year we had 8 leadership in the leadership, so we only got one more
7.
This year. And then also
7. You had 7. There's 2 new guys.
Yeah, one dropped out, though.
We lost one, though.
Oh,
so,
did he? Yeah, all right. So you're right again.
Yeah.
Oh, another drink, could have won more money.
Yeah. I was also going to say that Leicester usually plays for our NEFL side, so he doesn't usually play in the AFL side as much. But so that he's more NEFL. But from 15th to 2nd, our leadership team worked last year, so I'm sure it should work again this year. I think we'll probably finish about 5th. I think this year coming up. So, I think that one would be pretty good. But as I say, we look forward to having a drink, catching up with you. And as I say, I hope that your team, Eagles, do all right this year, and Freo as well. I hope they do all right. But as I say, our leadership team was 8 last year, 9 this year. I think it worked all right last year, so I think it should work again this year.
All right, good on you. Thanks for calling. We will make sure that you get you in for that drink too, so I don't feel like I owe you something.
Just going back to that result for our Matildas, they finish on top now. It was so important they got the draw. They finish on top, so they got one more step in Olympic qualification. They now play Vietnam on Friday the 6th of March in Newcastle, and then a return game in Vietnam on Wednesday the 11th. Get through that, Carl. They are off to the Olympic Games, which will be a fantastic story for our Matildas. Geez, they've come a long way, haven't they?
They have. There's so much sport coming up too. Wildcats against the 36ers. We know that the Wildcats have already stitched up a place inside the WNBL finals. 3 teams fighting off for that last spot, so it'll be interesting to see how those games pan out this weekend. A historic AFLW West Coast and Freo match this weekend, and we're encouraging as many people as possible here at 882-6BR to spend the $3, public transport included, and make it a record crowd for a women's game of footy. Need to get over 56,000, but over 42,000 will get it above the Freo Collingwood game last year, and would be a record for an AFLW game in our market. Sheffield Shield WA in South Australia. Be interesting to see how this goes. Darcy Short, of course, went out to Hayes, and there's a few boys in there that need to get some runs on the board. Not only to shore up a spot, but keep blokes like Ashton Turner out of the side. Unfortunately, he was left out.
Yeah, Sean Marsh back in too. That's a bonus. Cameron Bancroft has been in good form in local grade cricket, but Jake Carter is a youngster that's getting some opportunity. We saw a bit of him before or prior to the Perth Scorchers break, and Joshy Inglis, he's going to continue on his good form. If he can take it to the next level, all of a sudden he puts his name up in lights for a potential takeover of that keeping spot. Alex Carey is looking like the incumbent, but given what we saw in in the Big Bash, do it at all three levels, he's got to be a real chance. So excited about that. And Marcus Stoinis back into the fray too.
And just the tennis this morning, Tom Lanovich beaten by Potapova. She was a qualifier for the WTA event in St. Petersburg. Great to see Astra Sharma have a win in Kentucky at the Kentucky Open. And I'm really interested in the clash that will unfold tomorrow morning our time. Jordan Thompson against John Isner. That is a round of 16 clash at the New York Open. And he's the number one seed, Johnny Isner, in this tournament. So if Jordan Thompson can roll him, Hayes, certainly will keep his good momentum going that he took out of the Australian Tennis Open. Rugby Australia set to begin market process for 2021 to 2025. This sports update is for Maccas, and the mini games are here. You can play and win every single time. And of course, they have confirmed today that they have investigated the establishment of a national club competition. Final format not determined until further consultation with a potential broadcaster, state and territory members, unions and clubs. So I'll be really interested to see how that transpires. And just repeating the earlier news that Minjee Lee and Hannah Green both finished at 3 under par. The leader is Jodie Hewitt-Shadoff, the 32-year-old from the United Kingdom. She carded a seven under today for her round. And Jamie Cripps extending his contract at West Coast until 2023. Some of the good news out of today. David Short next. We finish off this hour with David Short. Nice to have him on the radio for Tab Touch with all the latest betting odds. Welcome, Shorty.
Yeah, thanks very much, Carl. Nice to be with you. Hayes, how are you tonight, fellas?
Yeah, we're going well. We start with the Wildcats against the 36ers.
They head in as the warm favourites, the Wildcats, fresh off what's been another excellent season for them. They go in at $1.14. The 36ers at $5.75. There's been good support for the Wildcats to cover that hefty line too, to win by 12 or more. That's into $1.88. Adelaide with the head start out to $1.93.
What about the AFLW Derby, the first one? There should be 50,000 supporters there. Shorty, the market?
Has Fremantle a warm favourite, Hayes, $1.22. West Coast at $4.20. Line betting on the game sits at 16.5. You need Freo to win by 17 or more to collect the 190. Or you can take West Coast to either win or get within 16 of Freo to take the 190. That side, the market to win the AFLW, North Melbourne and Adelaide both at $5.25. Freo rated an $8 chance and West Coast at 51.
And the Sheffield Shield returns. It's WA taking on South Australia first up.
Yes, and the West Aussies going as the $1.80 favourite. South Australia, $2. Two other games there. New South Wales, $1.44. Victoria, $2.75. And Queensland, the $1.55 favourites, taking on Tasmania at $2.40.
The NRL Nines tournament in town. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is indeed, and there's a few games to look at here. Penrith $1.17, Sydney Roosters at $5. New Zealand, Newcastle, we can't split, it's $1.90 each of two there. Parramatta Eels, warm favourites at $1.18 for their clash with Canterbury at $4.60. And the Gold Coast Titans, $1.46, take on the Canberra Raiders at $2.65.
Sam Williams will join us after the news tonight. Looking forward to having a yak to him. Now, racing on the weekend, Shorty. Big incentive to get involved. A huge quaddy jackpot at Flemington.
There is indeed $125,000 carrying over there, Carl. That pool expected to be north of $2 million. And one of the legs, the feature there, the Group 1 Black Caviar Lightning Stakes. Nature Strip will be the horse that many will be banking. The $1.50 favourite. Red Zell at $5. Loving Gabby's a $6 chance. Earlier in the afternoon, the Group 3 CS Hayes promises to be a ripping encounter. Alligator Blood, who's been flying up there in Queensland, at $2.10. Catalyst on the second line at $2.80. Dallas Ann a $5.50 chance.
What about locally, Shorty?
Yeah, great day of racing at Ascot, Hayes, and we've got the Listed Challenge Stakes as the feature there. Superstorm, the $1.55 favourite, well thought of by punters. Tuscan Queen at $3.90, and the one they named after Carl, Naughty by Nature, on the third line at $7.50.
How do we get on?
You can drop into any Tab agency statewide, log on to tabtouch.com.au or call 1-3-2-3-6-8. If you are going to have a punt, please do it responsibly. All the best, fellas.
Thank you. David Short there. And Crown Perth, what's on? Looking for real summer action? Experience it at Crown, where things are bigger, brighter and more fun. You can live the high life at Crown. They've got their own rooftop bar, High Line. Or you can tuck into some frozen cocktails and donut ice cream sangers at the Merriwell with free live entertainment every night, plus all the excitement of the casino. Crown is your summer. summer destination. You can live a little larger at Crown. Drink responsibly. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au if gambling is an issue for you. After the news, Kevin Sheedy will join us. We'll also have a chat to Rochelle Hawkes tonight. She's our local hero. She was an absolute star for a long, long time in the sport of hockey. We'll have a chat, as I said, to Shorty, to Sammy Williams, who will join us for the AFL Nines. Mark LaCraft for Fishing and Camping. We'll do our Chase for Charity. All of that coming your way after the news, which is next here on 6PR. Welcome back to Sports Day. You can boost your sales with the Australian-made logo. AustralianMade.com.au/apply. This man is Australian-made. And for Rio Tinto, launching women's footy in the northwest of Western Australia, talking about Kevin Sheedy as we welcome him to Sports Day. Welcome, Kev. How are you, buddy?
I'm very good. How are you?
We're going really well. We're heading to the northwest of Western Australia.
Look, I am. I like it up there. I get up there a fair bit. But, it's... hold on, I'm just setting my mouse traps around here. Mouse is here, you know. I just ran out a bit of cheese. Now, look, I am. I'm going up to, obviously, the Dampier Sharks. So it's going to be a bit interesting because then I'm off to the Swans. Caratha's on Saturday night at the Rec Club there. And so I end up at the Wickham Wolves. Now, I don't know how the Wolves got involved in this country, except there's probably a few West Coast players called Wolves. But I'm heading up there north, looking forward to it, mate.
Probably like most of our ancestors, Sheeds, they came on a boat in the good old days and planes in more recent times. But Dampier, Caratha, South Hedland and Wickham, so four great towns that we're broadcasting to tonight here on Sports Day. When it comes to these shows, I know you've done a show with Paul Hazelby more recently, and you took over apparently. What have you been talking about? What sort of stories do you tell at these nights, Sheeds?
Well, I mean, a lot depends on the crowd, obviously. I mean, sometimes I might end up at an old age home. you've got to pick the areas. But, look, it's probably 50-odd years of experience of moving around AFL and VFL and obviously interstate games and just the experiences in life that you should share, because you do collect a fair bit of knowledge in your life. And I think when you're a guest speaker talking, you should actually share that knowledge to the audience. And that's why the audience come to have a listen to really, how did Anzac Day start, or, why did you start picking Indigenous players when no one else would? Those sorts of things happen. And obviously the question's going to come up at some stage with bird kicking, but that's probably one of the amazing stories in itself. But look, it's been very difficult, really. I've been doing a lot of work with, raising money for bushfires. It's not safe to be alive at the moment, is it?
No.
Bushfires, cyclones,
coronavirus
and floods. Yeah, I'm trying to hide.
Well, we'll keep it just a footy then, Sheeds. And you've been around, a lot. You're still at the Bombers. How are you thinking that they might go this year? A bit of a transition year with John Worsfold, the chemist, and also Ben Rutten. We just had John Worsfold on a bit earlier.
Look, you put John Worsfold on before me. That's unbelievable. All right. That's the way you are. Okay. But with Worsfold, I try to recruit him. I had him training at Essendon, John, before the great West Coast Eagles come in. And I thought we were really absolutely spot on to get him. I had Craig Bradley signed up and Bloody Carlton knocked him off. And then I had Worsfold. So I had a really good, skillful player signed up. And then I was after Worsfold when he was about, I think he was 16. Remember the Field Cup years?
Yeah, I do. Yep, 1985.
Yeah, so he was around that period anyway, and we thought we might have been able to pick him up. But anyway, look, he's done a marvellous job at Essendon, John. I mean, he's got Essendon back on the highway where we're off the highway, to be honest, And let's not kid ourselves. it was a very difficult job to take over. I know what it's like. I come back from the Giants to try and get the membership up and running, which we're back somewhere around about the 80-odd thousand now, which is beautiful for us. And, we lead into his last year. He'll give it the best shot he can, obviously, because he's that sort of character of a person. And we head into the following year for our 150th year as an AFL club, and that's going to be pretty exciting,
What do you think about taking the game overseas, Sheeds? Obviously, we've gone to China, and that may well not go ahead given the situation that we've got around the world at the moment with the coronavirus. But taking the game to LA, we spoke to Jason McCartney last night. The Dockers have got their hat in the ring to go to the US of A as well. Are you happy that we're taking the game abroad, or at least trying to?
Yeah, look, Yeah, look, I am. I think that we've been too slow in this area personally, but anyway, it's only a, we're all entitled to our opinion, mate. That's why we love this country. But look, I was over there 2 weeks ago at G'day Australia Day, celebrating with, you know, our superstar movie stars and singers, and it was a great night. I took a whole team of American kids for training in one of the college grounds, and they could pick up our game very quickly. That's, I mean, you know, the sorry part of it is we actually got Mason Cox. And as soon as we got Mason Cox, the AFL shut down investment in America, and I thought, not smart, you know? Mm. I mean, you've got 40 million people in California. It's only a flight away, one flight, basically, from, you know, the East Coast, where, you know, the decision will probably be made, you know, obviously down in Docklands. So, and there's 40 million people there, and they love Australians. And there's 60,000 Australians live in California in that area, so on the West Coast. So I think it's not a bad opportunity. I think the Giants are really in a strong running position because they've got some huge financial backers over there, which I did go and meet a couple of weeks ago. And I think in the end, look, to be honest to your listeners, if you look back where we've come the last 35 years, you wouldn't have believed what we've done, would you? 18 teams, national competition. How do you look at the next 35 years? And people in the right position have got to make these decisions for the future of the game in the next 35 years against, obviously, entertainment, which is not just soccer or rugby league. It's about the entertainment dollar. So I think we've got to look at a lot of different areas, and I hope the AFL do and the Commission do.
What about Tasmania? Will you be somebody that puts your hand up to lobby to try and get this happening within the next 5 years?
Well, Tasmania got to work out whether they can actually get on well together, because there seems to be a north and a south there that don't dance to the same tune. They say they don't, but I'm telling you now, they do. They don't enjoy the north and the south. It starts about Ross, or around about that Oaklands area down in the middle of Tassie. And but look, you know, if they got the financial plan correctly, you'd really have to start putting your money in the bank now, buying membership tickets for 10 years' time, because financially they're going to have to really bank it smart with a decade plan before they even get the club, if they ever get a club. Don't know whether I'll get one in my lifetime, because obviously I'm 72 now and not quite sure, you know, how long this last quarter is going to go. But the deal in the end is I love California. I think it's a great opportunity for clubs to have a crack at, you know, getting into another nation, pretty similar people to Australians, talk our language, surf and beach. It's where you're walking into, you know, Perth, if you're going to California. Because Perth will be a young San Francisco, LA. That's the sort of people they are. So we had a great time. I think it's opportunity. I think the next best opportunity is to keep working with the international rules. That's going to be a big, big series this year coming up, because it's the 100th year, I think, of the Black and Tans with that tragedy that happened at Croke Park. So that's going to be a monster carnival coming up. So the representation's an opportunity there in the next 2 or 3 years to represent our toad and Australian people playing sport.
Hey, Sheeds, where do you sit on the state of origin? Look, we've got a big game coming up.
I like it.
Yeah, we've got a big game coming up. But do you like it only with three players being able to be selected from each club? I mean, don't we want to see the best players play? And if it means five come from one club, well, so be it.
Well, I never had a problem. Look, when I played state footy, you're only allowed two from clubs, and it was a real problem then. And, you know, so from that point of view, it was difficult to get in the state side back in the 70s and 60s when I played. So I don't mind all-round selection, but, you know, the clubs are going to protect their base. The coaches are, in particular. So I think in the end, you know, coming back and having a look at all the different aspects, I like the idea of state of origin. I always have. I think we should have it every now and then. I thought that, personally, your Optus Stadium here should have opened up with a State of Origin game against Victoria. It would have been an absolute ball-terror sellout. But you normally do boring things like Adelaide and other Victorian decision-makers do. You played Fremantle, and of course, when they opened up Adelaide Oval, you wouldn't want to believe who played. Two Tim dumb little suckers out of Adelaide, you know, the Crows and Port. So, you know, there was, I thought there's $6 million of cash lost then. So we've got to get a bit more excited, I think. And so I'm really a support of the interstate games, yeah. And, you know, for me, these days for me, I go around Australia and talk to all the people heading up there to start the Mermaid Hotels up in that that Dampier town. And, of course, in the end, it's going to be a lot of fun because the only problem is I'm going with Mouse and I'm not quite sure whether they'll let us on the plane, you know. I'm serious. You don't know how difficult it is. They just look at me and think, is this your entourage?
Sheed's last one from me.
Mate, I've just come from the down to the boat shed. Oh, mate, what a place that is. Had lunch down there, obviously. And I met a magnificent teacher. And we met on the plane coming back from Perth. Loves AFL. And, of course, you know, Len was his name. I'm not going to go any further. But you guys have got some good people in the education system over here. And when I look back and see the West Australians, I've always got to like and know. You've never let me down, you little suckers over here. Yeah, Lenny Christie, his name was. Good person, and I'll definitely be meeting him a lot because he tells me more about the history of West Australia, and I love that part of it.
You've always been good to us, Sheeds. Now, last one from me. Leadership groups. Now that you're out of the game, Brisbane Lions today announced 9 men were included in their leadership group. Would that happen under your watch, Sheeds?
Oh, I don't think so, mate. No, look, I think the best thing I heard, and, you know, I was in, and this is how some clubs see it all, but the Giants, before I got over there, just before Christmas, they had 5 Giants players sitting down being taught and lectured on leadership by Toby Bryant. How lucky was Cornelio and those boys, more than those sort of guys. You know, when you get that, you know, opportunity to be educated by a leader and a superstar from another code. So leadership's obviously important, but 9 viewers, you know. I just, you know, I struggled with 2 captains, you know. To me it was, you know, 1 captain, that's it, and you all are the suckers, you're captain, vice captain, and deputy vice captain, and move on. I mean, otherwise they'll run the damn place, and you don't need players running your club, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's where I think that you go too far. The administrators and the board run the club through the administrator. You got the 3 best leading type players in your organisation. And look, you know what? You know this as well as I do. How many great players you play footy with that were leaders without the title? Plenty.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time, Sheeds. We're out of time.
I've never been out of time in 72 years. Right? Tell me at 92, will you?
Okay, good on you. Kevin Sheedy there. And it's great to have him on the program. Certify your products with the Australian-made logo. And it's Kia's open season with match-winning deals and Australia's best 7-year warranty right across the range.
I think I heard him say that he wanted to go to America. He liked my idea about the grand final. Is that what you got from that, Carl?
I did not get that from that. I'm just going to ignore you. And coming up after the break, we're going to have to go to Rochelle Hawkes, our local hero for the Bottle-O. Real locals, real value at the Bottle-O. Let's get to our local hero for the Bottle-O. That is their motto, real locals, real value at the Bottle-O, and a country girl. Born in Albany, Western Australia, Rochelle Hawkes joins us here on Sports Day. Rochelle, welcome. How are you?
Thank you very much, Carl. Thanks, Paul and Carl, for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you, and a long, long career for our state and our country. Just take us back to the good old days back in Albany and growing up.
I know. I lived in the country for quite some years, actually. Born in Albany, only there for 2 years. And then we moved on to Ongerup, which wasn't far up the road from Albany, a wheat belt town. Lived there for 3 years, then went to Wandowie, which is about an hour northeast of Perth, and lived there for 3 years, and then spent 6 years in Northam, and finally, at the age of 15, made the trip to Perth and been here ever since.
And when you made that trip to Perth, why did you come to the Big Smoke in the first place?
Yeah, well, a bit of background. My dad, he was a policeman for pretty much his entire life, and pretty scary one at that. Scared the hell out of my 2 other sisters. And, yeah, he got a posting to Perth. So that's what brought us from the country to the city, and had to make that big adjustment, you know, trying to take the country out of the kid isn't easy. So, yeah, it was a big adjustment moving to a city high school.
And how many sports did you play growing up, and when did you realise that hockey was for you and that you wanted to go all the way and be an Olympic gold medalist?
Yeah, well, a bit like you, Hayes, being brought up in the country, you would have played everything, and I did. I played squash, netball, tennis, basketball, hockey, and I would have played other sports, but I just couldn't fit them in. And then it was really my mother's influence. She was very much involved in hockey. She played herself when she lived in the city. She was born in Margaret River, played down in Margaret River when she moved to the city, played for a club called Surf. And then when we were in the country, she actually started up the Wandawi Junior Hockey Club. And then when we moved to Northam, she was president of the junior club. So she was very much an integral part of really persuading me to go into hockey. And I put, when I moved to Perth, I actually played at the tennis club. I was playing at the Delcleigh Tennis Club there. I played for Stirling Basketball Club. And then they all started to clash, as you guys would know. And then you choose a sport, and hockey was it.
Do you feel like you could have made it in any of those other sports?
I don't think so. I like to believe I was good at everything.
You meant to say, of course you would have. If you had to put in the same time, effort and energy, because I was in my last year of high school and you'd just left school and you made your debut for our country, 1985.
Yeah, I know. And that still surprises me to this day, actually, because I got the phone call, and I remember I was babysitting to earn a bit of pocket money, a poor student, and I got the call, and it was like a selector from the Australian women's hockey team saying, you've been selected to play for your country, for Australia. And the amazing thing about that was I hadn't even played for the state West Australian senior side at that point. So I was sort of catapulted into this Australian team, and I really didn't know what to expect, and I was a bit shell-shocked when I went to my first training sessions, all these senior players. And I'm sure as AFL footballers, you know what it's like. You come in as a young gun, and the veterans really put you through the paces, and they make sure that you're made of the right stuff, because they really do give you a hard time. And I felt that for quite some time until I made it my own and started to, get some ascendancy and play my role within the team.
And you didn't leave for a couple of decades. You were there for a long time and you won three gold medals, 1988, 96 and 2000. Can you talk us through the differences between the very first one and, of course, the last one, Sydney Olympics, and the pressure building up towards that one?
Yeah, so 88, that was my first Olympic Games. I was 21, so still relatively young, and I wasn't an integral part of the team then. We had what's known in soccer as the substitution rule. So if you went, you came off the pitch, you weren't allowed to go back on, but now they have interchange. So back in that day and age, I really didn't get much opportunity. I played a little bit during the Seoul Olympic Games, but didn't get to play a lot. And what it did bring home to me was I had a burning ambition to want to be one of the key players in that team. And so I knew after Seoul, that's what I needed to work towards. And so leading up to Barcelona, I became more of a key player in the team. But of course, we don't like to talk about Barcelona. I fob that off every time. You know, we finished fifth there. But then after that, that sort of really strengthened my resolve. And I thought, no, this is not the way it's going to end. So moved towards Atlanta in 96, and Rick came on board in 93. So there were quite a few wholesale changes amongst the group, and we trained a lot harder and trained with real purpose. And it was very game-related trainings, and got to Atlanta and won the gold there. And there was a real shift from sort of the 88 through to 93 when Rick took over. And what happened was they changed the rules as well. So we went from substitution to interchange rule, so we could rotate through the whole squad. So the different feeling between 88 and being kind of thereabouts but not really contributing as much as I wanted to, and then 96, where all 16 players made a significant contribution to that gold medal, that was a significant shift. And then being able to go to Sydney and back up and win the gold medal, and home Olympic Games, a lot of pressure on, had to read the athlete's oath, and that took a bit of focus off training and preparing for the games, because I had to deliver that, and it was in front of about 4 billion people, worldwide audience, so it was going to be fairly challenging. And so once I got through that and had to refocus for the games, it was a tough game. We played some really good hockey, but you know yourselves, boys, when you play in finals, you get to those finals, they're often really dour struggles. And both in Atlanta and more so probably in Sydney, it was a really tight, tough contest. And we didn't really gain the upper hand until probably the last 10, 15 minutes of the game and managed to win 3-1 in both those gold medal games. But it wasn't easy. And I remember that final in Sydney being a real grind. And it was just pure relief to know that I was finishing after that game and the gold medal was out. So, yeah, it was a great journey along the way. A long one, 15 years. But I'm so glad I did it.
And so many accolades. Order of Australia in 1989, Australia Sports Medal in 2000, Centenary Medal in 2001, Australian Institute of Sport Best of the Best, and also Sport Australia Hall of Fame in 2002, and more recently Australia Day honours in 2018. Is there anything more you could have got? Not really.
Yeah, you know, the order of Australia medals, and then you climb up the ranks if you're fortunate enough to do that. And it's really interesting because the OAM everyone seems to recognise, and then you get an AM and everyone thinks that's a below an OAM. So it's quite interesting trying to educate people that it actually, you know, the less letters you've got, the better it is. But, yeah, that was a great honour. And, yeah, really proud of that one. That's, nice to have, I guess.
What about the current state of hockey in Australia? It hasn't quite been the same since you departed, but some new competitions. What are your thoughts? And heading towards the Olympics this year, are we a chance for the golds?
Yeah, I seem to say this every time, that the men are in a really good spot, and I think that they should definitely medal. I know they had a really rough trot in Rio. There were a lot of reasons for that. They still had a good team in Rio, but there was a lot of illness within the squad and nothing went their way. So it's the first time they were out of medal contention in a number of Olympic campaigns. So I think they're definitely a medal chance. And the women are building, and I know they're really working on a few aspects of the off-field mindset, and that's around the culture of the team. So I'm really hoping, because within the women's comp, the Dutch are the far and out the best team in the world. But then underneath that, it's a scramble for the second place, so the silver and the bronze. And Australia are in the mix, but they need to be playing well in that tournament. And on the day, anything can happen. But I think if they can switch and really work on that mindset aspect and forget about, you know, what's happened in the past and rebuild their own future, I think they're definitely with a chance. But the Dutch by far the better team within the women's competition at the moment.
Got a commentary gig or not?
No, I haven't. I'm really dirty about that, Carl, because I've done every single one since I retired, and they've gone for youth, I think, and they've got rid of me. So,
God.
So I'm really, a bit upset about that. But anyway, I don't think, they'll all get to go to Tokyo. You know how the commentary scene works. So,
you do.
I'd love to go to Tokyo. It'll be an amazing Olympic campaign. So we'll see what happens.
Rochelle, what are you up to these days for those that are tuned in tonight that would like to know?
Yeah, well, I've sort of done a lot of things, but at the moment, one of the things that I'm really proud of is I'm working with the AIS, and the Special Commando Forces have partnered up for this Gold Medal Ready program. And basically, it's a program that is trying to, and I spoke about mindset then, is trying to create the mindset of winning champions. So these aspiring Olympians, some who have already been selected and some who will be selected in the lead up to Tokyo, and then the ones beyond Tokyo, that what the AIS have done is they've reached out to past Olympians, and we've got on board to, and at this stage they're past gold medalists from 2000 and beyond, and they've brought them on board from across all sorts of sporting disciplines. And we and the AIS and the Special Commando Forces have built a program around physical activity. So we've been to Holdsworthy Barracks in Sydney, and we've had camps and sports come along. And they basically go through a rigorous sort of amount of activities, you know, that requires sort of rappelling off like a 90-metre tower and things like that. And then there's the teamwork aspect, and then the mindset around, you know, how you're going to deliver on the day, how you're going to overcome nerves, the importance of being able to know that stress is okay, and the physiological effects of stress and how that impacts your body, and being aware of all these things that then can help you deliver on the day. Because as you know, when you get to a final or a major tournament and the gold medal's on the line, some people shine and others are expected to do well and they don't. So it's just tapping into that being ready and that mindset and switching on when it counts. So been really involved with that program, really happy to support it. And I think it's a really good initiative. If it can add 1%, you know, those 1%ers that we need in sport and really give the athletes a boost, then I'm all for it.
Well, you've got us fired up. We're going to finish the show really strongly on the back of your little chat there. Thanks for joining us, Rochelle Hawkes.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thanks, Carl. Take care, won't you?
Good on you. Rochelle Hawkes, the second Australian woman after swimmer Dawn Fraser to win three Olympic gold medals at three separate Olympic Games.
Star.
Seoul, Atlanta and Sydney. She's magnificent. The Bottle-O, Emu Export cans, 30-pack, $50, the Bottle-O. Local hero, she certainly is one. We'll be back with Sam Williams after this. NRL 9s has hit town. All the action starts tomorrow. We'll tell you all about it after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. NRL 9s in Perth. Looking forward to this weekend, and all of the action gets underway tomorrow. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be fast-paced action. There's some special rules that's in place, of course, for this. And Sam Williams, a halfback from the Canberra Raiders, joins us here on Sports Day. Sammy, welcome, mate. How are you enjoying Perth?
Yeah, good. We got in yesterday and local school today and had a bit of a look around. It's the first time in Perth for some of the boys. So, really enjoying it so far.
Mate, when it comes to nines, how experienced are you in this format of the game? Because, mate, it sounds really exciting. Of course, we've got 30 matches played over an exciting 12 hours and there's four groups of four in each of the pools.
Yeah, that's right. It's certainly, I guess the length of each game is probably the big thing. You, if you can get one or two lucky tries, then the game's nearly all but over. So, you just got to make sure that you're switched on straight away. But I've been lucky to play in a few of these nines tournaments over the years. So we've got some blokes who are only young and only 18 and 19 years of age. So hopefully we can help them out a little bit.
Mate, just when it comes to the rules for those of us that are uneducated here in Western Australia, so the rules simply are these. Nine players per side, 9-minute halves, unlimited interchange, five tackles per set rather than six. Sin bins 3 minutes rather than 10 if you're a naughty boy. Conversions are drop kicks with a 25-second shot clock to hurry things up. Now, the 40-20 kicks introduced. Tell me a bit about that.
As you said, all that's pretty high pace. But there's two ways we can do it. I think there's if we kick the ball from inside our 20 metre zone and the ball goes out of the field of play in their 40, we get the ball back. And it's the same if we kick it from inside our own 40 and it goes inside their 20 metre line, that goes out. So it's a little bit of a risky play at times, especially when you've only got a few tackles, but it's something I'm sure some of the better kickers in the comp will try and exploit at some stage.
Absolutely. 5 points rather than four for a try, and the bonus zone between the goalposts. Now, drawn matches decided by golden try. Have you been involved in a match which has gone down to that?
No, I haven't. I haven't had the chance to do it just yet. It's a funny one. The golden zone underneath the goalposts. If you can score underneath there, and you're probably likely to convert it. It's a pretty big advantage. So if you can get in there, it's going to go a long way to winning the game. But I haven't had a golden try just yet. So I guess early on in the season, it'll test the lungs if we go into that extra bit of time.
Sam, your team, the Canberra Raiders, so close last year in the grand final. It was such a big build-up. I was rooting for you guys, but you couldn't quite get it done. During the off-season, how many players have you brought to the club, and are you confident it's going to be one better in 2020?
Yeah, you're right. It was very close last year, but we haven't had a big turnover of players. We've had a couple of young young halves from over in England come over, and we've also had had Curtis Scott come from Melbourne. So we've had a couple of new faces, but I think everyone's pretty keen to get back out there. You know, our last game was a loss in the grand final, so we just want to get out there and start this season. And this weekend's a good way of, I guess, trying to forget about that last game and move on with a big 2020.
Talking to a lot of the fans today and people with inside the NRL walls, do you feel in time we could get another team or a team put here in the West?
Yeah, it's a big one, and I know they discuss it a fair bit. The place has always had you know, been really good to rugby league, and we've had a side here in the past, and it was quite successful. It was just, I guess, the time that it all came in, that it did stay longer. But I think it's a really good option for rugby league. You know, even seeing some of the people on the streets today were really keen and keen to have a chat. So, you know, I'd love to see it. I know a lot of the players would love to play over here. It's a brilliant city and something that'd offer us more of a national game. So, yeah, I know they're looking at it, and with a bit of luck, we'd love to see it in the next few years.
2-day passes, $55 for club members, $60 for the general public to get along. Tickets tomorrow, $20 for club members, $25 for the general public. Is there something bigger up for grabs here? Is there a world club challenge that you're all playing for? What's up for grabs in this tournament this weekend?
Yeah, I think the big one, the NRL's put up, I think it's $1 million if you can win the nines and then win the grand final. So there's a big check there if you can dominate 2020. So you know, if we can get this you know, get the ball rolling and be a chance of winning that $1 million paycheck, it'd be brilliant. So yeah, I've got no doubt each club will be wanting to win.
Mate, when you were a young bloke born in Cooma in New South Wales, did you always want to play for the Raiders or somebody else?
No, I've always been a Raider. It's only about 1 hour south of Canberra, and it's my home club and my home team. So I'm very lucky to be able to represent them, and you know, I bleed green and I love the club, so I'm very lucky.
Good on you, mate. Well, thank you for joining us briefly here tonight on Sports Day. Good luck over the course of the next couple of days. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sam Williams there from the Canberra Raiders. Fans, you can also get active in the active zone. You can buy into that area. There's a party area at the end of the stadium. It features a DJ, a beach deck, merchandise and other benefits. So get along and enjoy the NRL Nines. If you'd like to go and find more information, you can go to nrl9s.com.au and find out anything that we haven't taught you tonight. We'll come back with Mark LaCraft for Parkside Towbars, fishing and camping next. Welcome back to Sports Day. Mark LaCraft joins us for Parkside Towbars, fishing and camping. Parkside Towbars, where you can tow with confidence. Lekker, good evening.
How you going, guys?
We're going all right. Have you been out in the water this week?
I have, mate. The weather's been really good. Just sort of snuck out. I only just took the kids out for a bit of a play around, but nothing too hardcore for me, but there's been plenty of good fish caught, like I said, along with the good weather, mate. It's just the stock standard, though. Mainly jewfish for those guys fishing for demersals, and plenty of tailor actually being caught off the beaches. So something that we probably forget about living in Perth is how good the beach fishing actually is, especially from that stretch from sort of Scarborough to Cottesloe. So plenty of fish being caught there for those guys that have gone down there around sunset.
Now, for a couple, there's some nice big fat tailor, and there's one bloke in one of these pictures that you sent me tonight holding a thumping big mulloway. Was that caught from shore?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, that, like I said, a bit of beach fishing. Those guys that are catching the mulloway sort of up around the Midwest, though. That was a tour with Perth Fishing Safaris. He's got it nailed. But up around that sort of Wago stretch, Kalbarri region, as Hayes would know, that's the home of the mulloway for WA, and that's sort of the go-to spot, particularly this time of year.
That's where I catch them, Lekker. Now, what about the crayfish industry? We know a bit's going on with the coronavirus. What can you tell us?
Basically, it's shut down. Yeah, so it's affected my family. Brother is skipper in the old man's boat, so they're still involved in crayfishing, but they've pulled the pots out of the water. There's no export market there at the moment, so a lot of uncertainty for those guys. Meetings regularly. I think my brother was at a meeting today. Not much clarity as to what's going to happen with it, so it's not just going to affect them. Obviously, there's a lot of other industries getting affected by it, but you know, China's the main export market for the crayfishing industry and basically shut down at the moment.
Yeah, and couldn't fish the Chinese New Year. And I believe, Lekker, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think the professionals' quota ends on the 15th of this month. And my understanding is, from meetings with a few of the pros that I know around town, is that there is discussions with the state government to extend the opportunity for those that haven't yet caught their quota, maybe to the early part of this year and then maybe start again. But, you know, it's probably something actually, that needs to be discussed, eh?
Yeah. So, no, sorry, it's 15th of January. It rolls over. But similar sort of thing. Chinese New Year is majority of when they catch the bulk of their craze, obviously when the whites and that are still running. So it's going to cause a massive flood to the market if they all go back out there now and try and catch their quota and fit it in by the 15th of January next year. So there's, I think, extending the season into next year, maybe mid-next year, would probably be the go.
Plenty of game fish still around. Dolphin fish and marlin. Those dolphin fish pitchers, they are such an exciting fish to catch when they leap out of the water. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, mate, an awesome fish. And I've tried catching them myself lately, but so has every other person in Perth. So they've shut down a little bit out at the FADS. It's it was hard work. Did a trip out there last week, didn't get any. Plenty of boats out there trawling. Like I said, the weather's been so good, so everyone's been out there. A couple of guys have been lucky. Some crew got on the FAD that was closest to Rottnest Island this week. We went around to all the new Wreckfish West ones, couldn't get one. But like you said, the game fishing, blue marlin fishing up in Exmouth, it's prime time for that, and they've been cleaning up there as well.
Still plenty of crabs in the river. I went on Sunday. We got our quota of 20, and they're big thumpers. Actually ate some today, so it's been a good season.
Yeah, it has. And I think Mandra's been the hot spot. Carl, you've spoken about going down there and doing a bit of crabbing. My cousin went down there this week, and some of the photos he sent me through, big bucket full of crabs, no dramas getting their quota. It makes it pretty tempting to head down there and throw the nets in as opposed to going around Hillary's and not getting as many as what they are as quickly either.
Now, I have to give a plug because you and I are both members of the Marmion Angling and Aquatic Club. The big Blue Water Fishing Classic is on this weekend. Are you going in at Lekker on Saturday morning, mate?
I'm not sure whether I'm going to enter
it. Come on.
Yeah, I know. To be honest, when I finished footy, I thought I was going to fish every competition in WA, but it's just not, I don't know, the competitive side of fishing is not there for me at the moment. I just enjoy going out and having a bit of fun and getting a feed, but I love the angling club. If I don't enter it, I think tomorrow is the last day. If I don't enter it, I'm going to go down for the weigh-ins for sure.
Yeah.
Abalone season on Saturday as well.
Absolutely. And you don't even have to catch a fish, though, in this competition. You can win a $15,000 dinghy package with a licensed trailer and everything done just by going in the competition, Hayes. You don't even have to catch a fish, which is unbelievable. And yes, the last abalone day, Saturday morning, so it's going to be a huge weekend. The boat ramp is going to be packed, so please be patient. Hey, Lekker, thanks for your time.
No worries. And my neighbour has got the $1,500 award for the Mackey biggest flathead. So get out there and catch that one, mate. Take some money out of his pocket.
Good on you. There you go. So there's 12 species, and the flathead and, of course, the little sand whiting, herring, along with some of those bigger species that we all love to go out there and catch, like break sea cod, are all up for grabs in that competition. For Parkside Tow Bars, Mark Lacroix, and you can shop online 24/7 for everything for your four-wheel drive and caravan. We'll be back to our Chase for Charity and tell you what happened on this day here on Sports Day next. Welcome back to Sports Day, and on this day for Barrandow Day, because the little things are everything. On this day in 1940, Bradman scores 209 not out in 161 minutes for South Australia at the Wacker Ground. Barra and O'Day, don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. As we get into our Chase for Charity, thanks to Greyhounds WA. Hayes, who are you tipping?
Well, you delivered donuts last week, Carl, so we decided to mix it up. You're going to have your bet, I'm going to have mine, and we're going to see who is the best. At the end of this weekend, I'm heading to Mandra Friday night, race 4, number 2, Go Dano Go. 25 each way. Look for it to fly out of the barrier.
Righto. Well, in our chase for charity, thanks to Greyhounds WA, racing against motor neurone disease, I'm going Saturday night at Cannington. Race 8, number 8, Flake Minnelli. 25 each way. David Hobby is the trainer, and I reckon it will fly and get the chocolates. Looking forward to that. Now, we're not far away from the 8 o'clock news. After the 8 o'clock news, it will be Chris Ilsley with Perth Tonight. And then Friday night here on Sports Day, we are going to have another very busy show coming your way. We will have Christina Matthews joining us on the program. Looking forward to having a yak to her, Hayes, because the Women's World Cup is just around the corner from getting underway.
And they're looking for a big crowd too for the game involving Australia here at the Wacker. They want to pack that out. And let's hope our Aussie women get through to that T20 World Cup final at the MCG, because Katy Perry is booked. They need to get there. There's a bit of pressure given how they struggled a little bit. They won the series against England and India, but it wasn't easy, Carl.
No, it won't be easy, but that's all we've got time for here on the program tonight. Thank you very much for your company. Great to touch base with Rochelle Hawke. She's an absolute star. It was a great chat to have with her, and we will continue to get around our AFL clubs too. We'll try and roll a couple more in for you tomorrow night here on Sports Day. The news is coming up next, and as I said, after that news, Chris Ilsley will be in the chair with Perth Tonight. He will take you through until midnight here on 882 6PR.